Hi, this is Wayne Zell, and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, your fast-paced video cast that's designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. And we try to bring you exciting content, new content, and people who have great stories to tell about their entrepreneurship journey, as well as how they're helping others grow their businesses. And today we have with us a very special guest, Kirsten Graham. Kirsten, welcome to the show. Before we get into specific questions about your business, Kirsten, and how you're helping others grow theirs, give us a little bit about your background. First of all, where are you from originally?
Sure thing, Wayne. So I'm originally from Virginia. I live in Sarasota, Florida now. And I love helping business owners.
Where in Virginia?
I was born and raised in Richmond, Virginia.
It's great that you're helping other people. Tell us about virtual assistants and why outsourcing is such a great strategy for small business owners.
Sure. So I actually started helping my current business partner actually outsource about 17 years ago. So it was something we kind of fell upon. And she was at the time building a marketing agency. And that's when everything really switched over to digital marketing. It was when small local businesses were first introduced to fan pages by Facebook. They were finally starting to understand that LinkedIn maybe wasn't just a resume site. And they were hearing things about blogging and email marketing. So we focused in and did a focus group to find out, you know, what small business owners really wanted and needed. And then from there, she ended up creating a course, which she taught live, each of those topics, and they sold out, which was great. But then all of a sudden, everyone wanted her to do it for them. Uh-huh. I don't want to post on LinkedIn. I don't want to do email marketing, but I you say it's important, so I want to try it, right? And so she ended up getting busy rather quickly. And at that time, you know, you didn't really know what to charge for those services. So looking back, she was definitely undercharging. And so she was talking about trying to find some help. And we actually leaned in. We had a couple of great college interns that helped out for a while. And I said to her, I've read about outsourcing overseas. Would you want to try that? And she said, okay, if you'll help me with it. And that led us down a very windy and interesting road. It had lots of positives and, you know, lots of big mistakes we made along the way. We've outsourced to 5 different countries and literally hired hundreds of virtual assistants at this point. But yeah, it was an amazing journey. And I joke that the fact that we're still outsourcing today is because we were simply too stubborn to stop back in the day.
Well, you believe in it. It's something that you believe in, and it gives you a reason to do what you do every day, which I really respect because that's what gets me going in the morning too. Tell me a little bit about the types of virtual assistants that you place or help people hire on the outsource basis. I mean, they come in so many different shapes and sizes. So there's different types. And then I'd like to know more about the countries from where you're outsourcing these folks.
Sure. Right now, we're completely leaning into the Philippines, just based on what we're hiring for. And it's interesting. I think the biggest mistake a lot of business owners make is they want to hire a magic unicorn. They want to hire this person who is going to be brilliant at bookkeeping and incredibly creative to do all their marketing. And that just doesn't exist. So we really try to help our clients understand you want to hire the right person for the right job, even if they're only working for you a few hours a month. And that's what we really focus on. So Jeannie and I focus on 3 different types of virtual assistants, which are software virtual assistants for helping clients really leverage CRMs and lead magnets and email marketing, all of those things. And with that, generally our clients, they may hire one of the VAs for a few hours a month and then not need them again for a few months.
Okay.
The other thing is bookkeeping virtual assistants. So we help our clients hire awesome bookkeepers who take care of all of their bookkeeping for them. And we have a whole process, again, talking about cultural differences and then how to manage a team member overseas. And then the last thing is really marketing virtual assistants. So giving clients the ability to do what you and I do. We talked about this before we hit record, which is we just show up and have these great conversations and our team takes care of everything else. So having a smart virtual assistant.
Software, bookkeeping, marketing.
Yes.
What about a receptionist?
Well, I feel like with AI now, I feel there's so much, everything's really going to AI. So chatbots, I mean, very few people I think are going to hire someone to answer the phone moving forward. But yeah, those are services that are offered. I have hired those people one-on-one for individual companies. I've also hired medical records directors for law firms. So I've done a lot of hiring of photography editors for large photo companies and things like that. But really, I think a lot of things are moving more towards AI. So you just want to figure that out. But we really focus on those three. But absolutely, you can hire a VA to do almost anything for you.
Let's talk about bookkeepers for a second, because that's an area that I'm particularly interested in as a CPA and a lawyer, and I'm a tax lawyer. And one of the big concerns that clients have conveyed to me about outsourcing bookkeeping or even tax return preparation is the issue of privacy and confidentiality. How do you ensure that the information that you're giving to this person is going to be protected?
Yeah, so we have a process with our clients. One, we encourage them to always own their bookkeeping software. It's very typical in the US, if you hire a bookkeeping company locally, they will generally sign up for QuickBooks for you, which means they own your account. So we really encourage our clients to own their own account. It
Okay.
also means you can move from one bookkeeper to the other if you're not happy, whether it's someone in the US or someone overseas. Making sure you're just giving that bookkeeper bookkeeping permissions so they're not seeing all of your account information. Then we also have a process where you're never emailing things. You're always uploading it to a secure Google Drive folder and making sure your full account numbers aren't on everything or really on anything. So we always go over those details. But sometimes I think people have a false sense of security because a lot of the large CPA firms and a lot of the large bookkeeping firms are outsourcing. What really gave me the ability to hire for small businesses, hire bookkeepers for small businesses, because I'm not a bookkeeper, was I've hired so many bookkeepers for CPA firms and bookkeeping firms. So through that process, I really learned what to look for and, not to take any business away from those businesses, but most of them are so busy, they have a hard time taking on new clients right now. There's a shortage of like CPAs, and we're starting to see the same thing with bookkeepers. So it's really hard to find good bookkeepers. And then a lot of smaller businesses, I always like to say, can't afford it. I'm doing that in parentheses for those of you that are listening. We can really afford whatever we value in our business, but I find that most small business owners, if their bookkeeping cost is $300 to $500 a month, they'll let it go. So we
It's
want to make sure it's
funny.
affordable.
It's funny because I have the same experience. I mean, there's a shortage of CPAs because there's not enough kids graduating through the accounting programs. I teach in the accounting department at George Mason University, and I can attest to that. But the more importantly, I think they're so busy, the bigger firms or even smaller firms are so busy with compliance today that they can't do most of the stuff that needs to be done themselves. And so the fact that you offer that as an alternative, I think, is a really valuable resource. I wanted to change from bookkeeping to software because I'm also interested in CRMs and different systems. Do you all favor one type of CRM for different types of industries over another, or do you have a lot of familiarity with the different CRMs, or how does that work when you're working with a new client?
We really just focus on one. Are you familiar with HighLevel or Go HighLevel? If you don't, yeah, with that platform. So we moved to that platform not long after it started. And it was really interesting because at the time they were fairly small. So we ended up having a conversation with one of the owners, Sean, which was quite funny because, Jeannie and I are quite a bit older than he is. And so after a couple of conversations, we said, we're moving over, but we don't ever want to have to change software again. Like at this age, if I have to change software, I'm coming for you, right? And they have done a fantastic job. Every day we're even more excited with what they're doing with the software. So the way it works for us is we white labeled the software about 4 years ago, and that allowed us to give our clients all the funnels we've built out so we can give them just drop them in their accounts. Then
Beautiful.
what we
That's
realized is if
smart.
yeah, you like that? Yeah, it all kind of happened by accident. Like we had no intentions of really white labeling the software or even quote unquote selling the software. But what
Right.
happened was our clients had that need. And so now our other part of our value add for our clients is we actually, when they sign up for the software, one of our team members actually goes in and sets them up and shows them around personally. We host live calls every week. So whether they have questions or whether we're talking about the new features that are coming out or we're talking about strategy about how they can use it. So we want to make sure that they have everything they need. And then they can hire software virtual assistants on an ongoing basis as needed to make sure that they're using the software to its fullest.
Do you help them find that additional software assistance too? The
As far
development,
as
the
is
integration of the system with their whatever they're using, if it's a Mac or a PC or whatever systems that they're using, to collect contacts, to bill clients, to, you know, whatever. I've found that, yes, that there's a lack of integration capability, and there's new software out there that allows you to integrate the accounting systems with the CRMs, with, you know, all the stuff that you're talking about and trying to help clients with.
Yeah, QuickBooks integrates with Go High Level. Our version is from leads to sales. It integrates nicely, but they've also updated so many things that you can send invoices directly from the software. So you don't necessarily have to log into QuickBooks to send invoices. You could text invoices. There's so many things that you can do, but it really is, it does integrate with a lot of other softwares. Most of our clients find that the suite offers enough for them, but if not, you know, it can be connected usually through Zapier.
Awesome. Yeah, Zapier is what we use a lot too. How can a strategic outsourcing strategy increase your client's value before the owner considers selling the company? I think it's an obvious answer, but I think it's good to talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. So one, I think knowing the value of your customer, you know, what is your lifetime value of a customer? Having great relationships with your customers. After you leave, are those customers going to stay loyal to that business because you have a great relationship with them and you have a way to continuously nurture them and stay in touch with them? I think that's a big part of it. Also building a business that isn't just you. You know, a lot of small business owners, we have a hard time with that, right? Is we can't be the business if we want to sell the business. So understanding that they really need to lean on systems, SOPs, things that will help them be able to step out of the day-to-day and to be able to grow the business larger because they're not in the business doing all the little nitty-gritty things. I think that's the biggest impact outsourcing and software can have.
I like that. It's cost savings, but it's also allowing the owner to focus on what's the most valuable to the owner, mm-hmm. Generating revenue, keeping in touch with the customers, generating recurring revenue and all that. I do a lot of M&A work and I do a lot of exit planning, and it's clear that buyers are looking for a business that can have transferable value, which means that it can run without the founder. And so the ability to delegate obviously is critical. You have to have some staff, some people that can step in your absence if you're the founder to run the business, just like you were saying. The outsourcing really, you know, builds the a significant level of process and systems that people can utilize to replicate, you know, tasks that otherwise couldn't be replicated. But how does the outsourcing component make a company more valuable to a buyer?
Well, one, it's more cost effective, so your profit margin's higher, right? It's not just about revenue, it's about profit margins.
Yep.
So anything we can do to cut costs and run our businesses lean is obviously going to add more value to them. And for us, it's not either or. It's not like you have to outsource everything. You know, a lot of our clients have teams inside the US and then they also have a team outside of the US. And we really focus on making your team overseas feel like part of your local team. Hmm. And that's so easy to do now with Zoom. You know, you have that big screen on the TV and on the conference room, and when everyone's having a meeting, you know, there's your virtual assistants that are halfway around the world. So it really is easy to build a team that's both local and overseas.
If it's outsourced and it's overseas, how do you ensure that they're not competing with your business or serving a competitor, or, you know, doing something that may, you know, not necessarily mesh with what you want to do here?
I think that's virtually impossible, but it's probably also impossible in the US as well. You know, you can't guarantee anything. We find that our team members are very loyal. We're hiring for long-term relationships for us and for our clients.
Okay.
So we do a lot of things we put a lot of things in place to make sure that our clients have a great relationship with their team members. You know, again, they're very hardworking, very loyal people. Most of them, if they're making enough money working with their clients and they've got full-time work, they may not be seeking other employment. You know, we do have a couple of people that work full-time in the Philippines. They have full-time jobs, but they work part-time with us, and that's mm-hmm. okay. So I think it's just, you know, it's like anything else in life. You have to trust at some point. We do obviously have them sign confidentiality agreements, and we do really set boundaries of what we expect and what we want from them. And we also believe in hire slowly, fire quickly. So we definitely spend a lot of time vetting the virtual assistants for us and our clients, and then making sure that they know what they're stepping into and they know what our expectations are from the start.
How do you vet these outsourced resources, whether it's software, bookkeeping, or marketing?
Yeah, so we go through a really intense hiring process. So once we post a job post, you'll get so many applicants, and we have a very detailed weeding out process. My goal is ultimately to weed them out before they get to the first interview. Once they go through the first interview, we put them through a test or through a training portal that they have to finish, again, trying to weed them out. And then once they make it past that, in the marketing, they actually go into a paid internship for us. So there's a lot of steps that they have to go through before we're actually going to hire them. But we also get really lucky. We have a lot of our virtual assistants refer friends or family members because they like what we're doing. So we get a lot of referrals, which I think is very helpful.
Yeah, word of mouth is excellent in terms of referrals. Every entrepreneur needs to build systems and processes. There's the entrepreneur operating system that Gino Wickman created in Traction, and there are other systems, but what systems and processes do you think every entrepreneur should put in place to make sure that their company is sellable?
So first of all, I think creating SOPs is harder than we'd like to think that they are. As a business owner, you start a business and then you get in there and you realize that there are things that you didn't even know you didn't know. And I think SOPs are one of those things. So finding a process that works for you. Luckily, my business partner, Jamie, is really awesome at creating SOPs, and she was able to create those for her agency so that, it was easy to manage her team. We always focus on step-by-step instructions. We provide a lot of training, a lot of video training. We also believe you should lean into a project management software. So whether it's Trello or Asana or Monday or whatever you want to use,
Monday,
definitely lean into something so that you're using a project management software.
So there's a lot of software, there's a lot of organization, and there's documentation, which is probably the most important thing from my perspective. Making sure that if somebody gets hit by the milk truck when they walk out the door, is there such a thing anymore? They walk out the door, they get hit by the bus, and somebody else has to be hired. Have they documented every aspect of their job so that somebody else can come in and do it? And how do you cover that from an outsource perspective? I was just curious.
We document it before we hire. You don't want to wait for that person to get hit by the bus. You want to have all of, so I guess our hiring strategy would be one, make sure you have a very detailed job description. What exactly do you want that person to do? And then what are the hard skills and the soft skills that you need that person to be really amazing in? And again, we're not hiring a magic unicorn. I want a bookkeeping VA. I want them to have a degree in accounting or finance. I want to make sure that they're certified and have been certified for several years with QuickBooks or Xero. I want to make sure that they've worked for a lot of small businesses, so I know exactly who I'm dialing in to hire. The next thing is before you bring them on, have your SOPs in place, have your training in place, have your onboarding process in place so that you can bring them on. And then it's always about tweaking it, right? As you bring someone on, you'll start to change things a little bit as you learn as you go. But most people, because I've had so many clients over the years who were devastated because like the right-hand person was leaving or whatever. And it's always hard when you lose someone on your team, whether they're local or overseas. But inevitably, I would say 99 times out of 100, they can hire someone better for that job because they've dialed in the job even more so over the years. They've gotten better at hiring. They've become better at communicating. They're better at setting boundaries and expectations. So a lot of times when a key person leaves a business, sometimes it's a good thing and it gives you an opportunity to hire someone, hopefully, that will level up your business.
I agree. That's a really good observation. Sometimes when somebody leaves, it is a good thing, even though, they've been there a long time and they kind of get used to the way they've always done things, don't they? So maybe
They do.
new thoughts. When you start talking about AI, people get all nervous, but really it's the future of a lot of
Yes.
different professions, including mine. How does outsourcing help a business owner reduce burnout and still build a scalable high value company, because growth is critical to increasing value?
Sometimes I think, from my perspective, and I'd love to hear yours as well, Wayne, sometimes I think business owners do tasks they know they shouldn't be doing because it's safe, right? It's really safe for me to sit in Canva and create those social media posts. it's really safe for me to do my own bookkeeping, even though I suck at it. It takes me forever to do it, right? But it means I'm not having conversations. It means I'm not getting rejected. It means I'm not following up. So I feel like outsourcing the things that are eating your time, that take you away from generating money, is 100% what every business owner needs to do. And sometimes it's just a matter of acknowledging that, it could be scary to have people say no to you. It may be scary to create the biggest proposal you've ever put out in your lifetime. But yeah, so I think just having the support in your business with other people doing tasks, it frees you up to focus on what really matters.
I don't disagree with that. I think it's true that too many entrepreneurs like to be the chef, the cook, the bottle washer, the janitor, everything, the maitre d', the waitress, the waiter. It's just too difficult to do all of those things yourself. Although the temptation is to do it because you know your business and you think you know it better than anybody else. The conundrum, I think, arises when the entrepreneur outsources and then they worry about the accuracy or the quality of the work product, and then they have to spend time reviewing and making sure that everything is substantively okay. The biggest issue I've had is with bookkeepers, not personally, but clients have complained, or CPAs too, where they complain that they're not getting either the support that they thought they were going to get, or the work comes in and it's wrong. And so that just ends up eating more of the entrepreneur's time. How do we ensure that we don't have that issue arise for the entrepreneurs that we're working with?
So we really encourage them to be an active part, right? So rather than spending hours doing your own bookkeeping or learning a whole new software program and sitting around creating lead magnets or funnels or whatever you're doing, learn to delegate it and then learn to check behind the person. With a bookkeeping VA, we always encourage our clients, especially if they have a great relationship with their CPA, have them review your books. Just call and say, I've got a new bookkeeper. I want to make sure everything's categorized the way you think it should be categorized. I want to make sure we're on track doing what you want us to do. And that right there will give you the peace of mind to know that it's set up the way your CPA wants it set up. And the bookkeeping VAs, they're not attached to anything. If your CPA wants them to change something, they're happy to change it. But we also believe that every month you should be meeting with your bookkeeper to go through your finances. I think a huge mistake is business owners think that bookkeeping is just for tax time. Bookkeeping is about monitoring, is your business successful? What offers do you have that are bringing in money? What offers, do you need to increase the price on? Do you have subscriptions that you've been paying for that you're not even using? Are you wasting money that could be profit that could go in your pocket? So we focus a lot on being an active part of, you are the leader of your business. Act like the leader. We lead people, we manage tasks. So we preach a lot on that.
I mean, bookkeeping is not just bookkeeping. If you have a good bookkeeper, they're looking at these things, or you're asking them to, generate KPIs, key, indicators of your business that will show that your performance is matching up to your expectations. And it's the ability to present information in a way that the entrepreneur can use it and learn from it and tweak their business model as they go along. So I think it's more than just being a good bookkeeper. I think it's being a bookkeeper who understands how to, give information to an entrepreneur that they need. And that depends on every industry. Every industry is different, every company's different. But I think the last question I was going to ask you, Kirsten, before I let you tell everybody how to get in touch with you and your partner, is I know everybody starts from the beginning. I did as an entrepreneur. All my clients start with just them, usually. They don't, my son-in-law's building a business on his own. He's doing it really smartly. He started it just with him. Now he's got full-time employees and he's slowly, growing. He's outsourced his accounting and bookkeeping, and all that stuff is good. If they want to start small, what's the first task that they should think about outsourcing to be creating a business that's ready to exit, which is my area of expertise? What should they be doing?
So I think it depends on the person. So for example, the first thing my business partner, Jeannie, outsourced with her marketing agency was bookkeeping. She said she always saw that stack of receipts. She knew what to do with it. it was just the last thing she wanted to do. So it always got put on the back burner. But she was like, they were just staring at me all the time. So when she hired a bookkeeper, she said it was like a boulder had been lifted off of her shoulders and she felt so much more creative. So if there's something you hate doing in your business, I'm not tech savvy. So when it comes to building funnels or, any of the tech side to dealing with software, it drives me nuts. So that's something I definitely would outsource first. If you're a person who you want to have a podcast or you want to have a YouTube channel, but you don't want to get stuck in the minutia of learning how to edit videos or how to clean up audio or uploading to YouTube with all of the SEO and all the things that go into it, outsource that. So I think it really depends on the business owner. Ask yourself, what is something that is eating at my energy that's not getting done because I keep pushing it away? And then ask yourself, how would I feel if I had a competent person on my team doing this for me, and all I had to do was review what they're doing and coach them to make sure it's being done the way I want it.
Love
And
it.
it's amazing. People feel it's interesting because you expect them to have that feel like that boulder's lifted off their shoulder, right? That's something we've all experienced when we delegate things. What surprised me the most, Wayne, was when people came back and said things like, "I feel like a real business owner now that I started to build a team. I had no idea how isolated and lonely I was in my business. I love all of my team meetings. I love bouncing creative ideas off of my marketing virtual assistant. I love being able to ask my bookkeeping virtual assistant questions and not feeling like they're talking down to me. I finally actually understand a P&L statement, and so I can have a better conversation with my CPA." So when they really start to feel like their business is bigger than them, it changes their confidence, and I think it changes everything about them and how they see their business. I wasn't expecting that when we first started this, and it really has been a blessing to be able to be a part of that, if that makes sense.
I love it. Well, we've been talking with Kirsten Graham, who is the CEO of Six Figure Business Coaching and has created the Marketing VA Advantage. And Kirsten, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, I know there's a lot of different ways they can. Give us a couple of the connections that they can find you and your podcasts and your blogs on.
Yeah, so just go to sixfigurebusinesscoaching.com, and that's S-I-X figurebusinesscoaching.com. We have two podcasts. We have a lot of blogs. We have lots of resources and tools. We're in the middle of updating all of our website and branding, so we're excited about that. I also have a free guide if you'd like to get that. It's called Double Your Income with a Marketing VA, and you can get that at outsourcingforbosses.com.
And it's about doubling your income, not necessarily doubling your revenues. You may be good at
Right.
generating the revenue, but why spend time on stuff that's going to cost you a lot in terms of lost revenue, lost opportunities? That's what outsourcing is all about, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes. Making your business way more profitable. Stop doing those $3 to $6 an hour tasks yourself.
$3 to $6 an hour. That's got to be the Philippines
Yes.
or somewhere
Or
else.
Serbia or Pakistan, all the other
Yeah,
places.
Croatia. Yeah,
Yes.
we've got software developers in Romania, all over the place. So
Yes. Yeah, it's
that's pretty
amazing, isn't
cool.
it?
It is neat. Well, thank you for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth. I really
Thank you.
appreciate your time today.
I really appreciate it, Wayne. It was a great conversation. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And join us next time on Blueprint for Wealth for another interesting, compelling, and great guest that's going to teach you something new about something you may not have known about before. Have a great week.